Welcome to Women Insurepreneurs, the podcast empowering female insurance agents to thrive in the industry. Join us as we dive into the world of insurance entrepreneurship, share success stories, and provide invaluable insights through the lens of female entrepreneurship. Let's unleash the power of women in insurance together. All right, welcome to another episode of Women Insurepreneurs. We are currently doing a series, What It Truly Means to Be an Entrepreneur, where we're interviewing other entrepreneurs despite the genre or what field they work in, rather. So here we have my good friend, Devry, who I've known forever, and she is the owner of Precious Little Bites. So she has blessed us with her presence. We're going to be able to pick her brain and kind of hear a little bit about her journey. So Devry, welcome.
Thank you. Devry.
And so we're going to jump right in. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Of course, I'm Devry. Precious Little Bites is basically a catering company that I run on my own. I work from a ghost kitchen. Upon orders. So basically, if you place an order, that's when your order is scheduled to go out. So everything is fresh and made to order. That's what I do right now because I do have a part-time job, but I do mean part-time. But my full-time job is catering.
Your business. I love it.
Yes. Hustle. And what would you say inspired you to kind of even just tap into that journey, that entrepreneurial journey?
It's easy to just get up and work a 9-to-5 because everything is basically structured. You're doing the same thing basically every day, however many days you're doing it. But as far as an entrepreneur, I used to work for the Department of Education maybe 7-8 years ago. And I remember, because I always have traveled from like a toddler up until now, and that's like my passion. But I remember having like 3 trips scheduled back to back. And I remember one of my managers basically telling me like I couldn't go on a trip. And I'm thinking like, how would someone tell me I couldn't go on a trip that I paid for? Okay, well, we'll see. So I went on a trip and I remember coming back having so many issues to like why I decided to take time off, so on and so forth. And I thought it was already a stressful environment to just work and do the job. Now here it is. I have managers telling me that I couldn't take the time that you guys are paying me for anyway to take off. I guess it's not a good time for you guys. So I remember just being in that space, being stressful and thinking like, why do I need permission to take time off? So that's what kind of made me jump into like, I'll never work a full 8-hour shift for anyone besides me.
Love it.
And you're saying time that you were entitled to, right?
Like, when you think about it, you're just kind of a number with any of the corporations. And if you die tomorrow, they're going to send your family a condolence card, but they're going to replace you within those next 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah, so that job posting will be up the next day.
Exactly. So whatever your position is, like, you're just a number. Like, I'm kind of even going through that now with my part-time job because I got injured. But I'm like, you see a lot of things when you work for big corporations and how they treat you. So it's like, why not work for myself and invest in myself versus investing my money and my time in someone else's company, because their company is already established, mine's is not.
Right, right. And when she says traveling, sidebar, she really means traveling. She, like, she'll be like, you want to go to Dubai for New Year's Eve? Or she's on some safari in Africa. So she travels.
Not paying. She's not talking about the United States.
You know what? I'm just kind of, even just with that, I'm kind of struggling because I got a Canon camera for Christmas. And I'm struggling. Like, I have posted some of my things on YouTube, but I haven't told social media, like my social media outlets, that they're mm-hmm. posted, because I only have one day up. And I'm like, I've been there for 5 days and I haven't even, I could never be an influencer because it's so much work with just editing. Like, you guys will see that just with doing this podcast. Like, yeah. It's a lot of work. I didn't think yeah. that.
It
I
is.
Feel it.
Yeah.
I was telling my husband the other day, I'm like, damn, I really see why these YouTubers and influencers, they have a whole team of people.
Yeah.
I'm like, because it really does, like, editing alone and then creating the reels, creating the shorts, the captions the content. That you're going to use, the different yeah. platforms.
Everything.
So I'm like, oof. So they earn the money that they earn. Devry, what would you say as far as, because you mentioned that you do have a part-time job and you're doing this, your own business, right, on the side. What motivates you or keeps you driven, like kind of juggling all of that? Because it's not easy when you're also working part-time.
It's not. I look at it that I still, for instance, with my sandwiches, even if I'm not working at my ghost kitchen, I'm able to juggle my own time. Like, I work my time around everything else. Like, it's not me working around someone's corporation or their time. It's me. If I decided, okay, well, today I'm not going to get up and do my prep work, but tomorrow I will feel like doing it. It's easier to manage your own time. Like, I can make my money constantly over and over again, but I can never get my time back.
Absolutely. Yes. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And what would you say is like a big lesson that you've learned kind of like on that journey so far?
You can never get your time back. I look at it just speaking from even on a health side, because like I said, I got injured and it's taken me so much time to just put into fighting a job that I work for that employed me. But it's taken so much time to just put into, like, I guess if I could say it in a simpler way, just to take care of me, because it's like, I'm your employee. You should be able to just put everything into me, because I'm not saying I'm quitting. I'm not trying to collect a check. I'm just trying to be on a healthy side for myself. And I look at it like, I'm still not valued, even with just working for the corporation. Like,
no, I was, because you, it was funny because what happened to me was also a foot injury, because you're talking about the foot injury, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I actually got fired for, well, that was like the cherry on top. She said I had too many problems. I remember I needed to call off one time because I had like a boot on my car. I was just really going through it. I had like a boot or something.
That's
I had to
a take care bad of. Day probably.
And then from the boot on the car, I fell on the stairs, twisted my ankle, needed a boot on my foot.
Oh, wow.
And I remember calling, it was like shortly after the first time I had to call off. And I was like, oh my God, this lady's going to kill me. So I had fell down the stairs, twisted my ankle. And I said, hey, I twisted my ankle. I was about to get on the train. I worked in downtown Chicago at another insurance company that's very, very popular. A lot of commercials. But anyways, I had to take a train downtown. So I'm like, my foot is swelling up. It's bruised. It's like black and blue. But I told her, I'm going to ice it. I want to elevate it, ice it, and then I'll come into the office. She goes, oh no, never mind. Like, it's fine. You can take the time off. I'm like, okay. So she fired me the next day. So she made me stay home thinking it was cool to ice my foot and whatever. And then she's like, oh yeah, you just have too many problems. So like, to your point, Devry, where it was like, dang, you didn't even let me heal. You straight fired me because I fell down the stairs. I can't control that. I literally fell down. I sent her a picture and everything. I'm like, I swear this is what my foot looks like. But that kind of led into my journey where I'm at now. So I guess everything happens for a reason.
It does. Let me ask you this. Did you ever think about going after that company for a wrongful termination?
No, I didn't. And I probably should have, because really, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I guess she didn't have too much grounds. Her response to me was that I just had a lot too many issues is what she told me. And I was like, these are things that like I can't control. Like I had gotten the boot because I wasn't working because I had tickets that were backed up, hence me needing the job. So now you just fired me. So it's just like everything kind of snowballed from there.
I thought about that because someone asked me, was I worried about getting fired? I'm like, no, I literally got injured at work. And for my employer to tell me after I put an incident report in, had to go to the ER, that I'm okay to come back to work. I'm like, how? Like, do you guys want another lawsuit on top of this? It's just kind of crazy that someone would think, even with an injury, like you said, even with showing pictures, it's like, oh, okay, I really don't care what's going on. So that's always, to me, a valuable lesson, because they let you know right there, they don't care. They're not putting you first. It's going to always be putting the company first.
Yeah. And I had another job too. After that, I had plantar fasciitis surgery, and I had the boot, and this was, we were working in the field. And back then we had to carry this huge, like, I swear it was like 50 pounds, this old laptop, and I was on crutches. And I had to take some time off of work. And I was like a sales manager at that time, or it was more like an assistant manager. And the branch manager tried to demote me during the time that I was off. And I remember I had to fight that with the company, because I'm like, I can't train my team or be in the field because I can't hold the crutches and this huge computer bag from the 19th century. So I had to call HR because he was really trying to demote me. And luckily, because of legal reasons, he wasn't able to demote, but he was seriously trying to be like, okay, you're out. All right, I'm demoting you. On top of the fact that, again, it was an uncontrolled thing. I had surgery and it was just taking longer to heal.
Yeah, some things are just out of your control and companies don't care about that. And you even have to be careful with the HR team, because at the end of the day, they still work for the company.
Yeah, they work for the corporate. Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely motivated by them. This kind of leads into the next thing that I was going to ask you. I don't know if this would pertains to what you would say is a challenge that you are facing, but what would you say is either one or some of the biggest challenges that you face as an entrepreneur, and how you have you overcome them?
For sure, income. And when I say income, like your sales. Depending on what you're selling, I don't care what it is, some days or some seasons are slower than others. Like I can have a week where I can make almost $2,000 in a week, and the next week I probably wouldn't have any orders. So even with just, I think that's number one, because that kind of boils down to everything as far as your marketing, as far as you advertising, all that works hand in hand, and it's easy for people to lose interest in like 2 seconds. If you're not promoting, if they don't see you, whatever the case may be, I feel like that's one of the biggest challenges. Because, I mean, money motivates everybody, but when you know you have a product that's good, that's working for you, it's like, okay, why am I not moving this, or why is it not selling? And sometimes it's us and sometimes it's not. I mean, it just depends on what may be going on at the time. So that's why I've always, I'm not going to say always, but that's why I've had a part-time job after I left the last company that I used to work 8 hours for. I'm like, I could never go back to working 8 hours, and whatever I will have to do to make up that, I can do. So now I don't have to depend on the job or the corporation to just fall in place as far as that.
Right. And would you, what are some achievements or I guess milestones that you could say you're most proud of in your journey?
So I've been doing this a little bit over 10 years now. And it literally just started as a hobby. So I feel like in the pandemic, I made the most money. And for the life of me, I couldn't understand where people were going with these sandwiches. What were they doing? Because we were all supposed to be in the house with nobody. And I'm like,
Why are you guys having a get together?
Oh my God, at the time, I'm like, Lori Lightfoot is going to kill these people because we're having tons of parties. I was making at least minimum like $700 like every 2 days. And I'm like, what is, I mean, I'm not complaining, but what is going on? Like COVID is happening. People are getting sick. Here it is. We can't go anywhere. We're in a house. We're supposed to be like with our loved ones or by ourselves. And people are partying. Like, this is crazy. But I think that was probably my most proudest moment. Then like, oh, okay, I could really do this. I've been doing this for a while. something that started as clear as a hobby, because everybody goes to someone else to eat. Mm-hmm. Everybody has some type of functioning, and you want to either bring a bottle if that person drinks, or you want to bring some type of dish. And it just kind of started from that and just spiraled. I'm like, it's something that everybody can have at whatever function you like. It's easy to go. It's easy to pack up. And it's just that, like, that. I guess that was probably my biggest milestone in the pandemic.
Yeah, showing. And you do it by yourself as far as, like, putting together the sandwiches?
Yep. It takes me more time to prep than anything, just because I have to cut meat. I have to cut my ingredients. So it's like that takes more time than anything. If I just had everything already prepped, it takes little to almost no time. I can tell you how long, depending on what your order is, how long it would take. But the prep time is what really drives me nuts every time. Like, it never gets old. Like, oh my God, I have to prep. Like, this is what I have to get ready for.
Right. And do you ever turn down an order because it's too big?
Only if it's like less than 48 hours, just because I think people for some reason think I just have sandwiches sitting in my refrigerator or something. like, oh, so you can't do that order? No, I can't. Like, first off, I have to get fresh bread, unless you want bread from I don't know where, I have to get fresh bread. And depending on the order, if I have meat available. I'm like, everybody, it's a made-to-order item. It's not just sitting around, but I just get people want the microwave effect. Everything is just hot and ready. Like, oh, well, they can do it in this time. And it's like, I can. I'm only one person, and you know this. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I look at it like that. Like, some people, I mean, it's just society in general. Everybody is just ready for everything to be just hot and ready, like, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I think that if that was the case, then you're going to sacrifice quality, and then they're not going to like what they ordered anyways. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I've actually had her sandwiches, and it's not like a tray that you could pick up from Costco where it's just cold. It just tastes like them generic old, you know, cold cuts. There is something different about the sandwiches. I don't know if it's the secret sauce or what, but they do taste different. So, with that being said, work-life balance, what would you say, like, advice, right, to somebody who is like, hey, man, I have a passion that I want to open up to, but I'm in the same boat where I have a full-time or a part-time that I'm also working. What would you give, like, a tip to somebody who wants to do the same as you?
Very first tip, time management. If you can't manage your time at your part-time job, you're definitely not going to be able to manage time on your own.
No.
Just because I look at it as if you could be working 8 hours on your full-time job, but you're going to definitely work more hours being an entrepreneur. And I think people definitely underestimate that, because I get some people that will text me at like 11 o'clock at night, like, I'm not answering this text message. I don't care if you see me post on social media. I'm not answering it. Like, it's just some things you have to look at. Like, people kind of take for granted far as you working for yourself versus working for a company. You're definitely going to always work more hours for yourself than anybody. It's going to always be hard, but it's always kind of like never give up, because you know what type of product you have, you know what works for you, you even know how you can or can't market. So I have to look at all those things, because even with me, I still struggle sometimes with, what is that? I do have a storefront, and this is mainly for people who want to use credit cards or have really large orders. Like, I have done large orders for schools, and some schools have cars that they use for the company. So I do struggle sometimes with just getting things like that together with a website, because I'm mainly either word of mouth or I'm on social media, and it's easy for me to kind of just network versus, oh, now I have to check my orders online, or I'm looking at my orders may come through the website online. It's just so much you have to do when you have a website and being by yourself, just doing it on your own. Again, it goes back to time management. Like, you still have to balance everyday life. You still have to balance your business and still find some way to have some type of mental capacity to still be like, oh, I can do this or I can't. Because if you don't manage any of that, you're just basically operating in chaos. It's everything over.
Yeah. I was just about to say that. That's just the, it sounds like it'll be a chaotic life, right? If you don't have,
you'll burn out.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Time management makes me think of a guy that works with our organization where he said he had to like kind of psych himself out. He had to clock in and clock out just for him. As an entrepreneur, he wasn't really clocking in and out, but that may be something where someone's struggling because you're used to working at a 9-to-5 or where you have a boss over you and now you have all this free time. So how do you manage your time? And I have used that sometimes too, where I'll do the Pomodoro technique. I'll put a timer on my phone where I'm like, okay, I need to focus on this task for this amount of minutes. You mentioned like people messaging you at 11 o'clock at night, because this kind of goes along with the work-life balance. And you said you're not responding, right? Because you have, I'm assuming, business hours, right?
I do. My business hours, just like everybody else, is still 9-to-5. Because at the end of the day, I look at it like, I always make like a morning post on social media just to, if it's not for anybody, it's for me first. And if anybody else can relate to that, then so be it. But if you text me at 7 o'clock in the morning with an order, I'm not responding until 9 o'clock. Like, nothing is that important where I need to respond right then and there. I don't care if you sent me the funds and you've already placed the order. It's like, it's just too early to even be thinking like, let me get into work mode. Like, I'm still trying to sit here and get myself awake, meditate, whatever I need to do to get up. Like, I need to actually be in that mode to say, this is what I'm going to do. And after, I might answer my text maybe 7 o'clock, but anything after that, like, no, it's too late. It's too early. One of them, you have to have some type of balance. And I feel like when you don't have balance, your customers see that and they feel they get a little entitled where it's like, oh, I think I'll start at 11 o'clock because she's going to respond. I'm not.
Yeah.
So you have to have some type of balance or your customers will take advantage of that and kind of run all over you if you allow them to.
Yeah. You're teaching them how to treat you in a business relationship like you would in a partnership.
Exactly.
But like you said, right, they're going to take advantage of you. So now you are going to be working in chaos because you feel like you need to respond to everybody and you're going to burn out. There's no way in heck. So I do the same thing. But that was hard for me in the beginning because it's sales, right? So you're, for me, it's sales. So you think like, oh, shoot, I better respond to them because if not, they're going to go find someone else. Chances are, like she said, they're going to wait for you to respond during your business hours. Now, when I do respond, I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to work hard for you. I'm going to have that customer service. So you're going to know that, hey, she may be worth the wait. Let me not, you know, expect a response at midnight, but when she does respond, she's going to be on top of it. And that helps with the work-life balance. So where, like she said, you can have your mornings to meditate and get your mind right, because it's not easy. Being an entrepreneur is not easy. So if you're just starting with orders and questions and this and that at 7 o'clock in the morning, no.
And not
I agree.
Just to kind of add to that, I look at it like, even with just having balance with certain things and having people how to treat you, like far as you say, it's always like, oh, I have to respond. It's never that serious to you basically know who your customers are, because if they're going to wait, they're going to wait. If you've dealt with them before, and I always look at like, treat people how you want to be treated, because I've patronized people's business before and I'm like, I'll never go back. Just on the strength of, I spent my money, but how did you treat me? How did you make me feel when I text you or I called you? I had someone when I first did a shirt that I decided to wear because I wanted something with my logo on it. And I was just trying to figure out who had good shirts or so on and so forth. And I remember texting this one lady, and she told me, I knew she was like a teacher by trade, but this was like one of her hobbies. And I remember texting her, and I told her, like, well, the color on the front of my shirt is different than the color on my back. And I wasn't telling her, like, so I can get a refund or anything like that, because I do know people do crazy things like that. But I was literally telling her, because this your business, maybe you could fix this, because somebody else might not, you might have this problem with somebody else and it might be easier to fix. And I remember when she texted me, it was kind of like, she responded later. It was like days later. And I get, again, everybody has their own life. But when she responded, I didn't feel like I was seen as her customer. I felt like, well, oh, you spent your money, you got what you got type. I'm like, it was no way of fixing the problem at hand. And I'm like, well, I patronized your business, and I look at it like word of mouth could be the best or the worst thing for you. All you need is somebody to say, A, you're good, A, you're bad. And it could take your business in so many different directions. So that's definitely another, like, probably my number two thing besides time management. Treat your customers like you want to be treated. If you treat somebody like dirt, what you expect is going to happen. It's just going to come back the same way.
That's true. That's the golden rule, they say, right? Treat others as you want to be treated, or something like that, or maybe messing it up. Devery, do you feel like you have looked up to any mentors or maybe sources of support that you feel have impacted your journey?
I do. I mean, I sit on social media a lot and watch how some stories have blossomed into something like greater than what they could even imagine. For instance, I could just use one person that I watch his stories, Keith Lee. He's an influencer, but by trade, I think he used to be a MMA fighter or something, or a boxer or something like that. But now he goes to different restaurants and he gives his honest opinion, whether the food is good, whether it's not, so on and so forth. And it's amazing to his followers, like, what they would and wouldn't do. It's almost kind of like having... It's almost like the beehive in a way, because if the food is bad, I've seen people like make threats to these people, like telling them like to shut down, like just kind of crazy things. But if it's really good, it's like they have a line around the corner. So it's almost like when you see someone doing the same thing you're doing, you know, it's possible. It's not out of your reach. So I always look at it like nothing is ever out of my reach. Like I can't just dream small. I got to dream bigger, because if it doesn't scare me enough, I'm not dreaming bigger in the first place. So I always just look at it like that. Like it always ends up working out.
Yeah. Absolutely. I really like that too. Like finding somebody that you can relate to. Is kind of what I'm getting from what you're saying on social media, right? Actually, the girl that was just on, she was talking about that. Like, she's having a hard time connecting and finding someone to relate to. So that is important.
It is. It's very important, because not to kind of spill my little beans, but I am probably within the next year or so, I know I'm going to have to put my catering to the side, because I want to do something that I never even, something that I thought it was just like a joke and an idea, but somebody kind of influenced me to kind of look into it. But I want to go to flight school. And it's like, that's a whole different ballgame. But just to see a male dominant field, only just a male dominant field, but like minorities, period, you really don't see flying as pilots or anything of that sort. Just to see other women that have done it and who are making a way now, it's like amazing. So when they tell you, like, you get a, you, For instance, if you're watching a shade room every day, don't think you're going to get anything positive from it. Like, no, I mean, just listening to the title. So it's like whoever is influencing you, whoever you're taking your time to watch and follow, you pick up that. I mean, energy is definitely transferable. So it's like you're watching something violent, best believe you're going to be violent.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, I mean, I do the same thing sometimes because I'll catch myself scrolling. And like you said, I'm like, dang, this negativity after negativity. Mm-hmm. And I like that you said something earlier where you said you post something positive for you and that it may inspire someone else. And I see your posts all the time. I got inspired by your walks that you would go on. Oh my God. I remember I even like messaged her one. One time I messaged her, I'm like, I'm on a little walk too in the morning because it's inspiring. So like she said to see, hey, if she could do it, I could do it. Now we're in Chicago and it's cold, but
I mean, but that's important. I used to get up and walk with my dog every morning, snow and everything. And he was like my exercise, even when I didn't want to get up and go, like, here's the dog right here by the bed. Like, come on, let's go. So he was like my morning walk every day. But I'm like, since I've been on my ankle, I'm like, I feel so lost because I can't even walk like that. I barely can drive some days without my ankle hurt. So it's like, oh my God, just to sit in the house and feel almost idle, sometimes it drives me nuts.
It's true. And those walks, sidebar, are very helpful because I had to do one the other day and I'm like, you know, this journey is stressful. We're in sales. So I'm like, I'm going to put my phone off because sometimes too, I feel like we just fill our brains with, even if it's positive, there's just like always something going on. You're listening to something, you're watching something. I was like, I need a moment of silence because I'm on the phone a lot. So a lot of times it's like, don't call me. Everybody knows, do not call me, text me. I'm not going to answer your call because I'm on the phone all damn day anyways. So I went outside and I was like, just listening to the birds chirp, like call me an old lady, call me whatever. But I was like, just listening to the birds chirp and walking and like deep breaths, all the stuff that you see on social media that sounds cliche, but it really does help. Cause I was like, I just needed a break. I just needed to go outside and just.
Sometimes you need a mental break.
Yep. Decompress.
Absolutely. That's something that people take for granted. Like sometimes you just, and when I get in my car, instead of me listening to music, I listen to nothing. Especially if it's in the morning. It's like, I can't hear anything. I'm just trying to wake up. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. Like, I can't hear anything. It's like when someone's talking to you at work. Like, I just got here. You want to talk? Please. Give me a break.
Full-blown conversation about productivity. I just got here. There's no part of me that's being productive yet. Right?
Not productivity.
I definitely get that.
Yeah, and make sure you're following people, like she said, that are inspiring, you know, and positive, because that thing that we're beating a dead horse, but it's really, really true. Like, I honestly was inspired by her walks, right? So if you are looking for a mentor, I mean, she's going to share her social media with us, but follow people. It doesn't matter if you're in the same industry. How do you envision your current business? How do you feel like it makes an impact on your clients or your community?
So I feel like... partial of the reason why I got into food, because my first kind of like, what do you want to call it? My first entrepreneur job, I went to bartending school. And it's, you had to, at the time, you had to be 21 to even go to bartending school. And I look at like food and drinks go hand in hand for one. Every conversation starts with a drink or some food. Like, no matter what, everybody can always come together over food, over drinks. Yeah. I always look at it like that. Like, you can always have an impact with your community with food or drinks, even if it's non-alcoholic, if it's something that you do or don't eat. Some way, somehow, you would still have a conversation with your community or just someone in general, because you can't not talk to someone without eating or drinking. It's almost impossible. So I feel like that brings people together. So I've had, again, so many word of mouth as far as advertisement for me, but I get a lot of business just strictly off word of mouth. And again, how I treat my customers, because I treat people how I want to be treated. If I have a problem or you've addressed an issue with me, I'm going to make sure on that next order or on that order that I'm working on for you that it's up to my satisfaction, not only just my satisfaction, but yours also.
Absolutely.
You said that, so you said that you get a lot of business word of mouth. Do you feel like when you branched off with this idea that you had a lot of support from your family and friends?
Because my family comes together just off the strength of just eating. So it's to the point with my family sometimes they're looking for the sandwiches and I'm like, I didn't bring that. That's not what I wanted to do. That's not what I wanted to do. Well, I thought you were going to bring them. And it's like, who said that? Like, where did you get this idea from?
Just assume I carry food wherever I go.
It's almost, it's like to that point now. I never felt like I didn't have the support from them in the first place. Mm. And I feel like even if you don't have the support, I mean, still go out and do it because your family or your friends won't be your biggest supporters sometimes. Sometimes strangers are your biggest supporters. Yes. And it's depending on the person, it could be very hurtful that your family or your friends aren't your supporters. But I'm like, you would be surprised what strangers will do for you and how they will help you because it's like, again, somebody out there is still believing and pushing and encouraging you to do something, even when you don't know it. Like you could, like you just said, Jackie, about the walking. Sometimes I'm like, I know people think like, oh, well, maybe she thinks she's too good. The reason why she posts that, that's okay. You don't have to follow me. You can always unfollow me. But at some point, you're still watching what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're gonna have your supporters, you're gonna have your non-believers, your underachievers, all of that. And still gonna have to do you at the end of the day.
Debbie, that's one thing that I've said before. It's sometimes it'd be your own people, right? Mm-hmm. But they want you to do good. They just don't want you to do better than them.
And that's right? sad too. But it's like you still have to go out and do. Nobody will take care of you like you at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my mom has always stressed that to me, like as a kid, like take care of your business and your business will take care of you. That's a true statement. I've lived by that all the time. Even if it comes down to a bill, I don't expect you to pay my bill. If you gonna pay it, you gonna give me the money for it. I still gotta take care of it at some point. So you still have to take care of you at the end of the day. Even when your family, your friends, nobody is supporting you, you still got to support you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how we talk about this all the time, but it's amazing how you said the strangers will be your biggest supporters because that's something that I did learn. And it's like people come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I remember when I joined the company that I'm with now, our partnership, it's IMO. And I had just started like, I don't know, a couple of months, maybe 5-6 months. And I hit the ground running when I started with this company. So I was hitting like our leaderboard and I was doing really, really good. And by the time we had an event in Mexico in Los Cabos, and I remember there was a couple of women there. They were like, man, I've been seeing you on there and I've been wanting to meet you and blah, blah. And I'm like, what? I was like, kind of blowing up my head a little bit. And at the meeting, they were like, yeah, like you're doing it. And I'm like, dang. And like she said, this is the support that I wish I would have gotten from my friends, from my family, who y'all know the struggle. You've known my ups and downs, and I'm at an up right now. And I would think that you would be my biggest supporter, the biggest people that's got that round of applause for me. And you really don't. And there's this girl that I've never met like a day in my life. And he's like, man, I'm really rooting for you. You know, you're making a name here in this industry as a woman. And can I connect with you? Like, I was just mind blown. I was like, man, this is, it just felt amazing. So I also want to kind of piggyback off what she said, that if you're not getting that support from your family and friends, just keep doing it. Like she said, you got to do it at the end of the day, take care of your business because it's going to come. You take care of people.
Yeah.
How'd you say it? You take care of people and they're going to take care of you, right?
Take care of your business. Yes. Your business will always take care of you.
That's the phrase. And it's true. And you will find your people or your people will find you.
Yeah.
The right people.
Yeah. It's because like we just said earlier, I learned this too, that you may not want the support from the people that you think, because people could smile in your face, but then backstab you the whole time. So you want to make sure that you're staying, you know, prayered up and in that positive mindset where you're attracting the right people. And then lastly, Devery, what would you say again? I know we've talked already about a couple of your tips, but any tip, tool, resource, lesson that you would share again with someone who's watching this and thinking like, hey, I have a passion project and maybe a little passion project to me, but I want to branch off and do something and I'm resonating with what you're saying. What advice would you give that person?
Always reach out to your community, whether it's somebody you know personally or whether you don't. Your community, you'll be surprised some of the resources that your community offers that sometimes you may never know. Just speaking in general, my just reaching out to the area, like when I started the catering, I looked at everything that was around me. I looked at price points of where people did sandwiches, how they ran the sandwiches, what they offered, anything. First, always do your research. But when I looked around and started using different resources, like every city, no matter where you are, has some type of free class for something, whether it's business, whether it's always something free that's offered. And I know we are so quick to hand something off to somebody else and just see if they can do it. But I'm like, when you get it firsthand and you kind of go through the process yourself, you know what to expect from people, because you've already kind of used your resources. You already reached out to your community. And a lot of the time, the resources that the community have, they will help you. They will help you every time. It's just like free money is out here for some people, but they just don't know where to look because some people are scared to make the connections. Some people don't know where to go. I mean, you got to sometimes get a lot of no's before you get yeses. So it's just like, never give up. You still have to reach out to your community. Like, again, you can put a post up. I've done it before, just jokingly about something. I've put a post up and some people have sent me so many different DMs about information that I didn't even exist. For instance, I know everybody knows I travel, and I have a friend that does so much research. Sometimes it makes my brain go crazy because she has so many ideas and I'm like, slow down. Like, I can't comprehend all this in one conversation. But she told me that in Illinois, if you are on government assistance, that they will waive your waiver for a passport. I never knew that. I'm like, I got to share this. So when she sent me the application, because someone else told her, just generally talking, that because she was on government assistance, they waived her waiver. Well, she had already got her passport, but they waived it for her kids, but they could have waived it for her and her kids. I'm like, that's money that you don't have to spend. And right now, every dollar counts because everything is going up. So it's like, always reach out to your community. Even if you think somebody ain't watching, somebody is always watching. You're never not alone when somebody is not watching.
Yeah.
That's true. Wow, that's pretty. I didn't even know that. See, she just, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be people listening. Majority of the people that actually listen, I just found out the other day, are in Chicago. So you probably just put some people on.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. And Devery, where can people connect with you or follow you, or if they have questions, they want to place an order?
I am on Instagram and Facebook as Precious Little Bites. You can type it in. I know in a search engine, for if you type it in Google, it's going to automatically pop up on Facebook. I don't know how it will pop up with Instagram, but it's still the same thing. It's like Precious underscore little underscore bites. My personal page right now, it's private, but you can still reach out to me at she'sawinner.com. And it's winner.com. She'sawinner1.com. I think I'm sitting on like a boat or something, so you can't miss
it. But we'll make sure we include it in our I'll be following you as well. Several of us can go on there and see where those sandwiches are going to be. Might just catch a plane just to taste them.
You got to come over here, Sonia. Once you come over here and try all the awesome food we have in Chicago,
your mind might not want to come back.
Yeah. We got some good. That's the whole thing with Chicago. It has so many different. We have so many different foods. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's almost kind of like going to New Orleans. Like you're bound to gain some type of weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It'll be in the winter then.
In the winter, yeah. And don't come in the summer. I just seen actually, it might have been the Shade Room or Spiritual World where they were like, somebody commented that New Orleans had better food. And it was like a whole debate in the comments. Like, does Chicago have better food? Does Dallas have better food? Or does New Orleans have better food? And they were going crazy.
I think New Orleans does a lot of, because I absolutely love New Orleans. And I took my friend with me last year around Mardi Gras time. Because like for the last 5 years, well, not even, since the pandemic, I've been going to New Orleans like around Mardi Gras time. And to Chicago food, we have a variety of food, but they mainly have like Southern food and like seafood. So it's no variety outside of just those two. Like we have things that a lot of different states don't have. Like if we say we have a pizza puff, people like, what is that? Or if we have an Italian beef, again, a lot of people are like, what is that? So we have a variety of food and some things that don't even cater to other states. It's hard to even sit there and compare any of that. Like, okay, well, if you think you got better food, then so be it. That's cool. We can agree to disagree.
Yeah. And you know what? And I think it's not only just like you said, there's certain things that we have specific to Chicago, but the authenticity of being able to find things. Like I lived in Miami for 3 years. And if you want to find a good Chinese restaurant, you're not going to find it. You're going to find a Latino, and I'm Latina, so I can say this, that wants to make Chinese food and put their spin on it, but it's not authentic.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm Dominican, I'm Cuban. No, man, leave that for your food. Leave the Chinese people to make their food. And that's like something that you can find here. Like you can go to Greek town if you want to find authentic Mexican food, tamales, like, and I'm talking about like top notch, like it's the grandma in the back making the food, and you can't find that in other states. I learned that the hard way, living in Miami for 3 years. But Devery, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, this is something that is kind of like a passion project for us. You know, the podcast is, and the group is, for women that are in the insurance industry, but it's important to us to be able to connect with other like-minded individuals who are positive, who are doing their thing, standing on business, no matter what, you know, field they're in, because our experiences are the same. So that's why we're doing this series right now, right?
To connect with things.
Exactly. So, but I thank you for coming on, and kind of, this is a startup for us and believing in us and even taking the time out of your day to do it. So I appreciate you.
Absolutely. We appreciate you.
Yes. Go follow her. All her info will be listed in the comments and all of the things once we post this. But again, thank you. And I hope you guys have a good rest of your week.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Women Insurepreneurs. We hope you feel inspired and equipped for your journey in the insurance industry. Subscribe for more empowering conversations and connect with us on Instagram at Women Insurepreneurs. Make sure you join our meetup group so you don't miss any of our events. Until next time, keep shining and pursuing your dreams. Remember, your potential knows no bounds.